Welcome to the second sermon in our sermon series entitled, Practice Makes Powerful. In this sermon series, we will review six spiritual disciplines that strengthen our souls to live well in a challenging world. Today's sermon title, The Power of Conversation, Daily Prayer Time and Listening. Open your Bible to Colossians 4, verses 2 through 4, and let's begin.
So today we're going to keep diving into our study of these ideas called the spiritual disciplines, these practices, these habits that we do in our life that help us connect to God. And we're going to dive into the idea of the spiritual discipline of prayer and what that looks like and how it helps us to connect to God. But before we do, there's a video that I want us to see. I love a good sports movie. Helps me think about things, right? Not that I'm athletic or sporty at all. But what I love about this movie is this guy is built his lifetime, his career around baseball, and he finds himself trying to finish out his career well. He's in the middle of pitching a perfect game, and his body just hurts, and he's done, and he's exhausted, and he's like, God, I'm just going to need you to help for about 10 minutes, right? And I think for a lot of us, prayer kind of feels this way. It's this thing that we do in desperate moments, almost reflexively. Listen to what John Ortberg says. He said, desperate people pray. When we reach the limit of our resources, we pray instinctively, reflexively, like the way a man lacking oxygen gasps for breath and the way a man who is falling reaches out for something to grab. We have these desperate moments and we almost, without even thinking about it, reflexively reach out to God asking for help, right? Somebody gets sick or we get in trouble or something hard happens or moments where we're just filled with fear, and we pray almost automatically, God, I need your help, maybe just for like 10 minutes, right? If you could just be around for there. And they're incredible moments to pray. But what if prayer with God is supposed to be so much more? Now, I remember being younger, and maybe you had these moments too, like, God, I know I didn't actually study for this test, but if you could just please help me pass, that would be great, right? Like, we've had these reflexive prayers. Or, God, I know I shouldn't have done the thing that I did, but if you could just please let me not get caught, or if my parents could not just know about this one thing and I couldn't get in trouble, right? Like, reaching out to God wasn't hard in those moments. I was desperate. I needed a lot of Jesus in that second, and I really was just pleading with God. All right. It's not hard to pray when we're desperate, but what if prayer is more than just these desperate moments that we have that we need help? What if prayer is about building a relationship with God in the kind of way that he doesn't just help us in desperate moments, but he's with us in other moments of our life as well, helping us to grow our faith and to know him better and create these moments where we get to see him at work and see him do things in incredible ways. I mean, one of the most amazing things about this invitation that we have to know God is that God wants to be known by us. I mean, God has so much better things to do, like running an entire world and universe and cosmos, than my little insignificant peon of life, right? But God invites us to bring our life to him and to connect with him and communicate with him. And he wants to be known by us. He wants us to grow in our relationship with him. And he invites us to come to him when things are hard, right? When we're desperate and when we need help, he promises he will listen. But even beyond that, more than that, it's an invitation to really know God and spend time with him. And prayer is a spiritual discipline because it helps us connect with God. As we think about what spiritual disciplines are, the goal of them is not to just be more religious and be more spiritual, right? Not to add 500 things to our already more busy schedule, but to have these activities that we use to create opportunities for God to be at work in our life. They are these places where we just carve out moments that we get to turn aside and we get to shift our attention to God and spend time with him. And the goal of a healthy spiritual life is to grow more fully into the people that God has created us to be. And these spiritual disciplines are these habits, these tools that we use to place ourselves in the path of God's grace. I've been reading a new book about the spiritual disciplines, and he actually calls it, the book is called Habits of Grace. They're these habits that we're trying to practice and build into our life that as they become normalized routines for how we do life, we are connecting to God's grace in different ways. And there are these exercises that we do that draw us nearer to God and more into the people that he's created us to be. And prayer is one of these tools that God has made us available to connect to him. Listen to what Paul says in his letter to the Colossians. He says in Colossians 4, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I'm in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Now, there's a couple things that I want us to see here that Paul gives us to think about as we make prayer a habit in our life to connect with God. The first thing he says is continue steadfastly in prayer. Maybe if you're looking at your translation, it might say devote yourself to prayer. But anytime we continue in something, we do it repeatedly, not just once and we're done, but something we do again and again and again, or anything we devote ourselves to, we're giving it time and attention in our lives. It's something that we're saying is worth it to do again and again and again. And we're paying it attention, not just random mindless things that we do without thinking about them, but intentional, thoughtful time that we give it in our life. Charles Swindoll says it this way. He said, prayer is to be active, not passive, bold, not weak, specific, not general, attentive, not lazy, continuous, not sporadic. And so if we're going to continue steadfastly, we're going to make a foundation for it and not give up on it in prayer, then we have to do it with persistence and with faith. What prayer does is it opens up this communication with us talking to God, not trying to change God's heart, right? Like, God, I'm glad you're listening. There's some things I want you to do different, right? Like, God, now that I've got your attention, I think it should be this and do this. We're not going in prayer to God to change God's heart. God uses prayer to connect us to him so that he can change our hearts. And God takes this time that we spend with him, pouring out our hearts to him, and he's gradually growing us and working on us in the process. But the challenge, the tension is, can I continue in prayer? Not just, I prayed that one time 5 years ago and nothing happened, so I never did it again, but can I continue in prayer because I believe that God is a God who does exactly what he says he will do? Do I believe that God is really a God who's listening to me when I pray? Do I trust God to do the things that he says that he will do? And that's this tension that builds our foundation for prayer. We continue in prayer because we believe that God is a God who hears us, who listens to us when we connect to him. And we persist in it because we say it matters and it's worth it when we do. Now, I've persisted in things in my life before, not because they were easy, but because I knew that in the long run, it would pay off. We got a dog a couple months ago, and we've persisted in potty training our dog. We've persisted not because it's easy, because if you've ever potty trained an animal before, it's not easy. It requires more patience than I have. But because I don't want a dog pooping and peeing all over my house, it's worth it to go out every 20 minutes and create the schedule and teach him how to where to go. Okay. Because I know the long run, it pays off. I stick with it. But our persistence with God matters because we say, I know that God's at work and it matters and it's worth it not to give up, because in the long run, I know that God is at work. And so we never stop praying because we never stop believing that God is at work in my life, in my family, in my community, in this world, doing his good work. And we never stop praying because no matter how crazy and possible the situations of life might be, we know that we have a God that nothing is too hard for. And we pray and we pray and we pray because we believe that God hears us when we do, because we believe that God is a God who answers prayers. And it might not be the way I want him to answer the prayer, but God is at work doing what he promised he would do. And so we continue. We build our foundation of prayer on the premise that God's called me to be a person who prays, not just once, not just randomly, but again and again and again and again, because it's one of the most incredible ways that he meets us and connects with us there. So Paul says, if we're going to be people who pray, we have to continue steadfastly in prayer. But then we also, he says right after that, have to be watchful in it with thanksgiving. So part of the pray is the continuing and the not giving up and the going to it again and again and again. But part of it is also remembering what it is that we have to be thankful for. It's creating these moments, these pockets of time where we get to say to God, thank you. I remember who you are. I remember what you've done. The power of gratitude is that it shifts our attention in such an incredible way that we see exactly what we're looking for. When we're watchful in thanksgiving, we're looking for things to be thankful for. We're looking for ways to say, I'm grateful that this exists. I'm so thankful that this happens. Instead of looking for things to be angry about or mad about or confirm our cynicism and why we were right to be pessimistic or everything, we're looking on things to be thankful for instead. Now, what happens is, the more I focus on my negative emotions, the more I feel them, right? Like, the more I focus on how grouchy I am, I don't get less grouchy, I get more grouchy. The more I focus on how sad I am, I don't feel less sad, I feel more sad. The more attention I give to my anger and my frustration, I don't feel them less, I feel them more. And look, all of these emotions need to be processed, but we can't get stuck there and live there because it becomes all that we see when we look out at the world. Instead, gratitude helps shift our focus outward. Instead of focusing on my negative emotions, I'm looking outward for other ways to process how I feel. And it creates these pockets of space in our hearts and in our mind that we just get to breathe for a second. We just get to take a break from feeling angry. We just get to take a break from feeling sad. We just get to take a separate point, a moment, to not feel all the anger and frustration that we feel. And it gives us a little bit of perspective to not just see the negative, but to see the good that exists and well. So instead of looking for how bad everything is, we can focus on, I do have things in my life that I can be grateful for. Instead of focusing on how terrible the world is and how horrible things are around us, we just have the space to say, okay, that's true, but this is also true, and I can think about these things as well. And it becomes part of our relationship to God. Instead of only railing at God every time I'm upset and saying, God, why did you let this happen? God, how could you do this? God, where were you? Why weren't you here when this happened? We start looking for things to say to God that look more like, God, I'm thankful that I just have life today. I'm thankful that I got to be awake this morning when the sun came out. I'm thankful that it finally stopped raining in Cleveland and the sun is shining because we knew it had to happen eventually, right? I'm thankful that I got to eat breakfast this morning. I'm thankful that I get to be around the people that I'm around. I'm thankful that I got to be in church. I'm thankful that I even just get to do this life that I'm doing today. And we start creating this goal for ourselves. Yes, there are things to complain about. Yes, there are things to be angry about. Yes, there are really good reasons that we could rail and go on and on about terrible things that exist. But it's also true that we have things to be thankful for. And when we watch for those, they become part of the way we see life, not just the negative as well. And so Paul says part of us building this foundation of prayer in our life, it helps us connect to God because we do it again and again and again, and God gets to be at work in us. But then we also get to be watchful in thanksgiving because God gets to use these moments to shift our attitude, to change our perspective, to give us new ways of approaching life, not just negatively, but from a place of gratitude as well. And so we get to set, like, no matter how big or how small, what if we just said every single day to God, God, I'm thankful for this. And we said, I'm going to think of three things today to say thank you for, God. And it might be as simple as thank you that I got to wake up, or it might be large and say thank you for doing that thing that I've been pleading with you for to do. But what if we just said every single day, no matter how big or how small, I'm going to think of ways to say thank you to God because it does a work in my mind that nothing else could. And as we continue and as we watch for Thanksgiving, Paul also goes on and he prays, he asks his friends to pray very specific prayers. He says, at the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. He says, pray for us. Pray that God will keep opening doors for us. Like, we're out trying to, like, share the word of Christ and people haven't heard about Christ before and we need open doors that God opens for us to share his good word. Pray that we can keep sharing the word of Christ in creative and thoughtful ways, and that my words would be clear and people would understand what we're talking about. But here's what I find so interesting, and it's really, really easy to miss if we overlook it. Paul is in prison when he's writing this letter to the church and the people, the Colossians. He's in prison. And he doesn't say, like, hey, could you pray for me to get out of prison? Which would, let's be honest, be the first thing that I said, right? Like, I don't want to be here. Could you pray that I'm not here? Paul doesn't say, hey, could you pray for the jerks that put me in prison? Like, they will get theirs for doing this terrible thing. He doesn't pray those things. Those are specific prayers he could have asked for. Instead, he brings the attention back to the big picture. Remember this big work that God has called us to be a part of. Pray that God will do these things. He brings the focus back, puts the attention back on the work that God's called them to do, because he knows without the help of God, these things can't be done. The church won't thrive and the word of Christ won't spread and hearts won't be changed. And so he asks them, keep praying that we have more opportunities to talk about how amazing Christ is and who he is and what he's done. Now, we all know life is crazy and it's busy and all of these things are so urgent and they rob our attention and our time and our energy for the things happening right now. And we get so wrapped up in the intensity of what's happening right now in this moment that we forget the big picture. We forget the most important things and why it all really matters to begin with. And prayer is one of those incredible things that helps bring our attention back to God and who he is and what he's doing. Prayer is one of those incredible things that helps shift our focus back to, don't forget the big picture. Don't forget who God's calling you to be. Don't forget why this all matters and what God's doing to begin with. Prayer is one of those important moments in our life that God uses to draw us back to him and say, yes, I know that wrapped you up. I know that felt so urgent, but don't forget this while you're at it. There are specific things that we can pray for each other and with each other and about together that God uses to shift our attention back to him and what he's doing in it all. Now, here's the good news about prayer. Prayer is a learned behavior. A lot of times we feel intimidated by prayer because, like, we never really learned how to pray, and we've heard all of these other people, like, praying Billy Graham gospel prayers, right? Like, the earth is shaking and things are changed, and we're like, well, I can't do that, right? Prayer is a learned behavior, and people aren't born experts at prayer. Nobody even masters prayer in a lifetime, because the goal of prayer isn't saying perfect words in a perfect order at the perfect time. The goal of prayer is connecting with God. The goal of prayer is authentic moments, not me trying to say things from rote or trying to be like anybody else, but just moments where God gets to do his best work in us, in our life, and where we are in the moment. And so what happens is, because the goal of prayer is to connect with God, we learn by doing. We learn by practicing. We learn by actually saying, if I'm going to be a person who prays, I have to pray. I have to start putting time aside for it every single day and growing in it again and again and again. It doesn't matter how awkward my words are. It doesn't matter that there will be some long pauses where I'm not sure what to say next. It doesn't matter that I don't sound like the Apostle Paul when I'm praying. What matters is these moments of time where we get to turn to God so he can do his best work in us. So I want to give us some real tangible ways to practice this week. I'm going to give you some different ways that we can start praying right now. If you're using the app, the Christ Church Ohio app, this is in the notes section. Or if you're writing it down, here are some good things to write down. Here are some very specific ways that we can start practicing praying. And what if we just picked a couple? We picked like one or two and we said, okay, I'm going to try praying this way today, tomorrow, this week, and see what God might do. All right, here's the first one. It's called remembering prayers. I love looking at old pictures of my family and my kids, and it reminds me of like silly moments that I forgot about or fun things, like how much has changed over the years. I was at my parents' house and I was in their basement and I found this old box of pictures, and it's like, you know, me and my sister's 1990s dark red lipstick on. By red, I mean like maroon, right? Like my daughter's like, what is on your lips? And I'm like, that was very cool at the time. Don't judge, right? I remember things that I forgot in these special moments in our life, and it reminds my heart, and I love those moments that I get to remember super fun things throughout our history, because let's be honest, life marches forward and I forget, and I'm so busy with the next that I forget other things, and I love the reminders of those special moments in life that just make my heart feel good and remind me of things that have happened. And remembering prayers allow us to do with this with God. We get to re-watch our life and turn to God and say, God, I remember when you did this. God, I remember what it was like to be here and how you brought me here. God, I remember when I used to beg you for this, and look at what's happened today. And remembering prayers are thinking back on our life and what God has done at different points in our life. And some of those are thinking through like tough points in our life and remembering, I wouldn't have survived it if God wasn't there. Some of these remembering prayers are thinking through the grace God showed us in these important moments of our life. Because day-to-day life overwhelms what we remember and we forget. And so, to help us do remembering prayers, we have to write stuff down. You can actually keep a prayer journal. And again, this isn't even for anybody else to see or read. It's not to be like profound and poetic. I mean, God bless you if that comes naturally to you. But if it doesn't, it's just a place to remember what we're praying about. I did a life group with high school girls about 13 years ago, and we kept a prayer journal. And every week we would get together and we would just ask what we could pray for each other. And we'd all take turns praying for each other and with each other, and we'd all pray for somebody else. And I found it the other day in my books, and it was so neat because all of these girls now are 13 years older and they're married and have kids and in different parts of their life, and remembering who they were in that time and what God has done. It's so cool to remember, but I don't know about you, if I don't write it down, I will forget. It happened, but it's not real because I don't remember. I've moved on to the next thing. And remembering prayers, let us go back into our life and say, I forgot that 10 years ago I was pleading with God about this, and now look at what God has done all of these years later. And so we go to quiet places and we say to God, I remember. I didn't forget what you've done again and again and again. I remember, and I'm saying thank you. I'm remembering and I'm just in awe of who you are. I remember that I'm forever changed because of what you've done in these moments in my life. That's a prayer we can practice. We can just take a moment and find a quiet place and say to God, God, I remember this and this and this. And respond to him in those moments. Another way to pray is called asking prayers. I mean, Jesus told us we could ask and we would receive and we could seek and we would find and we would knock and the door would be open to us. And the invitation is we get to go to God and bring our life to Him. We get to go to God and say, like, I need help here. I need you to please be present here in my family, in my life, at work, in my community, in our church. We're pleading with you for this. We get to just go to God and ask Him what's going on in our lives. I mean, it's not Santa Claus, right? Like, we're not going with our wish list and saying, well, God, I was a really good girl or a really good boy and I deserve this year, right? What we're saying is, God, this is on my mind. This is plaguing my heart. This is consuming my energy. And we get to bring all of that to God and just spend time with Him there. And we get to say, like, what's in my heart right now that I need to go to God with? Or where am I just crying out? Because if God doesn't change it, nothing else will. Or what are the things that I just need to find God in? I love C.H. Spurgeon said this. He said, I can't imagine any of you tantalizing your child by exciting in them a desire that you didn't intend to gratify. It would be a very ungenerous thing to offer alms to the poor, and then when they hold out their hand for it, to mock their poverty with a denial. It would be a cruel addition to the miseries of the sick if they were taken to the hospital and there left unattended and uncared for. Where God leads you to pray, He means you to receive. God doesn't use prayer as like a bait and switch mechanism. Like, hey, pray about this and then like pull it away really quick, right? Like, He doesn't dangle the carrot in front of us to get us to, you know, behave differently and then shift out the floor from underneath us. God wants to meet us in prayer. God wants to use these moments in our heart where we need Him and we turn to Him to connect with us and meet us in powerful ways. So we can do remembering prayers. We can do asking prayers. Here's a harder one. It's called repentance prayers. It's not hard for me to think of things I have to ask God, right? Desperate moments when we desperately need God. It is a lot harder to humble ourselves and just say, God, I need you to forgive me. But it is so powerfully important in our relationship with God because we need Him in these moments. We need to be honest and say, God, I didn't keep up my end of the deal, and I'm sorry. God, I didn't do what I said I would do, or I did exactly what I said I wouldn't do. And we just need to bring it to God and talk to Him. We need to say to God, God, I did this, and name it and be specific and say, I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? Because the promise is, He does. His promise is that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to forgive us our shortcomings, to forgive us for those places that we've messed up. Now, I've needed to apologize to somebody before, have you? Like, I knew I did the thing that I shouldn't do, and you feel terrible, and you feel guilty about it, and I hate, what was I thinking that I did this? And then you apologize, and if they're a good person, they forgive you, and then this weight gets lifted off of your chest, and you almost get to take a deep breath again. Have you been there before? Like, you're so sick over it, and then you finally get to just breathe, and that weight's been lifted. I mean, that's the gift God gives us in repentance prayers. Instead of being weighed down by shame and overwhelmed with guilt and carrying these giant burdens along with us through life, we get to give them over to God. God says, you get to cast all your burdens on me, and I'm going to help carry that load for you. And we get to go to God, and the hard part is bringing ourselves to admit it, right? We don't want to think about that thing we did. We don't want to remember that we were that person. We want to push it away and move on. But if we don't ask God to forgive us, it lingers and it weighs us down. But the freedom that Christ offers us is the weight that He lifts, the guilt that He releases us from, so that we can move forward with Him. There's also listening prayers. Part of prayer is talking to God, right? I'm communicating all of these things and I'm talking and I'm responding to God. But part of prayer is also listening to God. Now, I don't expect God to show up in a bush that's burning in front of me and talk to me the way He did Moses. I mean, it would be awesome. I would stop doing what I was doing and I would listen if He did. But I don't expect God to talk to me in that way. But I do have an expectation that when I'm praying, God inclines my heart and my thinking towards Him. I do have an expectation that God uses these moments where we quiet ourselves. Instead of just rattling on and on and on and on and on, we quiet ourselves. And in the soft, quiet, still moments, God connects to my heart. In the moments where I'm reading scripture, God speaks powerfully to me. In the moments where I'm pleading with God, God uses the right people in my life to say things to encourage me or challenge me at the right moments in my life. I do know that the more time I spend quieting myself and my mind and my thoughts and my mouth, the more open I am to hearing and seeing God and who He is and what He wants to do. But listening requires quiet. It requires us shutting off the distractions and the noise and the volume and taking a moment away from the busyness of life to just be still and find a quiet place where we can just sit with God. Because when we do, God finds us. God moves in our hearts and in our thinking. And as we listen and as we wait on God, He uses our moments, uses this time to do His incredible work in us. And then there's something called breath prayers. They are prayers you can say in one breath. You know, some things they take time and it takes effort and it takes all of this moment. Other times it's just this quiet, like, God, thank you, right? I can say it in a breath, or wait on God, or be strong and courageous. God, you promised to never leave me or forsake me. These moments where we just get to repeat again and again and again this one solid idea about God. And we don't do it just for like rote or to go through it or to memorize it mindlessly. We do it because we get to think true thoughts about God. We get to help our hearts focus on things that maybe don't come naturally to us or come easy to us. And in the hard moments, we get to redirect our thinking to God rather than just all of the other things that pop up in my mind. Sometimes the best tool that I have to work through my mind and all of the crazy things that are going on is this, these breath prayers where I get to say, okay, but God is just and God is true and God is good and God is gracious. And I get to just say these moments in a breath to repeat and go back to them again and again and again. We can pray Bible verses. The Bible is just filled with incredible ideas that we get to pray through together. I mean, ideas like love and forgiveness and patience and kindness and strength and courage and mercy and grace and faith. I mean, I could pick one idea and say, God, I want to be kind this week. Help me to be kind. I can pick one idea and say, God, I need strength in this area to be this kind of person. There are promises in the Bible that we could pray. There are incredible promises that God makes, and they're so strong and good. And as I pray these promises of God, I remember who He is and what He's done. God, you promised that your grace is enough. God, you promised that you would be with me. God, you promised that you're near to the brokenhearted. And as we pray these promises, we get to redirect our minds and hearts back to who God is. There's also prayers in the Bible we can pray. I mean, Jesus's friends asked Him how to pray, and He taught them how to pray, and we get to see how Jesus prayed in the hardest moments of His life as He walked to the cross. He pled with God, and we get to pray these incredible prayers that Christ taught us. The book of Psalms is just packed with wonderful prayers about God turning to me and being gracious to me. And we get to pray these promises, pray these prayers, pray these incredible ideas that help shift our attention and our thinking, not just what comes naturally to us, but to God and to who He is. There's something called spontaneous prayer, right? We get to be proactive and thoughtful and intentional and build these prayers into our life. But then there's moments where we just need Jesus, right? Like a lot of Jesus right in this moment. And these spontaneous prayers get to be the things that we're praying. Like, God, I need patience right now to not say the thing that I want to say, right? Like, God, I need a lot of self-control right in this moment. Please help me. They are these impulsive prayers. They're not planned, but they happen in the instant, and we get to turn to God and say, God, would you please help? When I'm overwhelmed, God, I need you. When I'm feeling joy, God, thank you. And there's these spontaneous responses that we get to turn ourselves to God. And then here's the last one I want us to think about. We get to pray with other people. One of the best ways that we get to practice prayer and learn about prayer is by praying with other people. And the purpose of doing this isn't to, like, let me show you how smart I am or how religious I am or how many Bible verses I know. The point of doing this is to grow through praying with other people, because we get to see what the faith of others looks like in genuine, heartfelt moments. There's something powerful when somebody prays for you and over you. There's something that God does that connects us to this wonderful community of each other that he's given us when we stand and commit to prayer with each other and for each other. We get to see real prayer played out in real life. We get to see how God works in answering prayers and what he's doing in the life of others. There's something so incredible when you just buddy up with one other person and you say, let's pray for each other. Let's pray with each other. And it gets to be something that you do not just by yourself, but with a team that helps you going even in times that are hard. In the 4th century, St. Patrick went to Ireland and all throughout Europe, and he went with the goal of teaching people about God and sharing Christ where it had never been shared before. And it's said that as he would go out into these different places and villages and cities, that he would say this prayer for protection. Here's the prayer he prayed. He said, I arise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, and God's eyes to look before me. God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak for me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to protect me, God's host to save me from snares of the devil, from temptations of vices, from everyone who desires me ill, afar and near, alone or in a multitude. And he goes on and he talks about Christ in us and all of these things that we do. And I love it so much because it so beautifully articulates the goal of prayer. The goal of prayer is God in us. It is God at work in us, preparing us and growing us and helping us and challenging us and comforting us and directing us and leading us and shielding us and saving us and rescuing us. And the goal of prayer is to connect with God so that God can do his best work in us. And it starts with us taking time day after day after day to put ourselves in the presence of God and just practice prayer together that he might grow us into these incredible men and women that he's called us to be. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would please help. I pray that you would just stir up in us the courage to practice prayer this week. I pray, Father, that as we try, as we attempt to speak to you in these ways that we've never tried before, that, Father, you would just connect with us in powerful ways. I pray that we would hear you calling us by name and directing us in the way that we should go. I pray, Father, that you would meet us in the sad moments of our heart and comfort us. I pray, Father, that you would meet us in the hardest places of our life and that you would strengthen us. I pray, Father, that you would give us a new purpose and a new hope in you, that we might grow into this incredible potential that you've given us to be champions for good in this world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information on Christ Church, please check us out on the web at www.christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, please contact us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.